directed by Heather Larmor. The play was first broadcast earlier this year. Drama on Three next Sunday is part of our Napoleon season and tells of Napoleon's climb to power in the early years of the French Revolution. Napoleon Rising by Anthony Burgess, adapted for radio by Anjum Malek, is at 8:30 next Sunday evening here on BBC Radio 3.
An unmissable Thursday afternoon on BBC Radio 3. Puccini's one-act opera Il Tabarro, The Cloak. An international cast, Daniel Harding and the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra, in a performance given earlier in the week in Stockholm. And Dvorak and Sibelius performed live in Belfast by the Ulster Orchestra. Afternoon on 3, Thursday from 2 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
It's 1 minute past 10 and time now for World Roots. Lucy Duran tonight with a concert recorded last weekend as part of the 2012 London Jazz Festival.
Every now and again, a musician seems to come out of nowhere and grab the public imagination. Tonight, for World Roots, we're here at Coco in Camden in North London to hear a veteran musician who's been described as the father of Ethio-Jazz. Someone who's put Ethiopian music firmly on the world's music map. Ethiopian multi-instrumentalist and composer Mulatu Astatke has, since the 1960s, been fusing the ancient pentatonic modes of Ethiopia with jazz and Latin sounds to create a unique music that's rooted as much in the Horn of Africa as it is in the jazz clubs of New York and here in London. Mulatu was born in Western Ethiopia in the 1940s and spent his young life travelling to the UK, where he studied music, and then on to the United States. By the 1970s, he was bringing the sound of Ethio-Jazz back home to Ethiopia, recording for Amha Records in Addis Ababa until the repressive Derg military junta effectively ended the golden age of Ethiopian music. Mulatu came back onto the world stage about 15 years ago when Volume 4 of the Ethiopique series was devoted to his music. And since then, he's become a regular feature on stages around the world, as well as being sampled by hip-hop artists and featured in the 2005 Jim Jarmusch film Broken Flowers. I'll be talking to Mulatu later on about how he spent a lifetime forging his own path out of two very different musical worlds. But first, let's hear him on stage with his hand-picked seven-piece band of British jazz players. So here on World Roots, from the London Jazz Festival, is the father of Ethio-Jazz, Mulatu Astatke.
Nice to see you again. So we started one of my compositions I call The Door, and we're sharing our saxophone player, Mr. James. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was a piece I called The Wall. Next piece, maybe you've seen a film called Broken Flowers. I would like to play one of my compositions for that film. This is a tune I call Yekal Monso. Thank you. Mr. Barron on the trumpet there. Mr. Barron on the trumpet. Thank you.
Mulatu Astake with his band playing Ethio Jazz here at Coco in Camden, a wonderful old and extremely iconic Victorian theatre dating from 1900. Wonderful to meet you, Mulatu. Fabulous to hear your music. You've become the most sought-after musician in both jazz and world music, it seems.
Thank you so much.
Now, I've just said that your music is ethio-jazz, and I think that's a term that you coined.
Yeah, now it's almost 42 years.
You know, you've created a whole style and genre.
That's what it is, actually. And I think I'm very happy and very lucky to be alive and see how this music flourishes in this world.
So what exactly is Ethio Jazz? Is it just a combination of Ethiopian music and jazz, or has it turned into something else?
Well, it's it took me quite a while to really put this thing together, you know. And as you know, we have like four different modes in Ethiopian music. This is for the modern Ethiopian music, but the church have different modes, three different modes. So I'm talking about the one we use for modern music. So what Ethio Jazz is, the Ethiopian modes in five notes.
The pentatonic scale.
Exactly, combined with 12-tone music. So I always say 5 against 12. But the 12-tone music is so complicated. So it has been worked out for many years and used with great guys, composers and everything. It was a bit difficult to combine both and also identify the character of Ethiopian music with both combinations.
You know? So Mulatu, do you see jazz as something a little broader than, let's say, American jazz? Do you see it as something that encompasses roots and folk traditions like the music of your country, of Ethiopia? Could it be world music as well, Ethio-jazz?
Well, that's what I always say, because I was doing world music 42 years ago, before what you call now world music, you know.
I mean, there are other influences in your music, for example, blues and Latin music too.
Good question, because Latin music belongs to Africa. All that rhythms they do, all this is, you find it everywhere in Africa. But it's been developed in Latin America and in New York and all those places.
So you feel a real affinity with Latin music? You feel that it's your music in a way?
I love it. I love it really, because I love it because it's in my blood. Because when I was even a child, I used to hear the mambos, the cha-cha sounds, but not the way it's been played in New York. But the rhythm is there. Like, especially if you go to the south of Ethiopia, you find these rhythms.
Then you're still researching and working with different Ethiopian traditions and bringing them into your music?
Oh, yeah. Every time I'm home, like I go out for Madish, you know, I meet these different tribal people, I talk to them, I do research, because those are the sources of to us, even to the world, even. Because, you know, this traditional musical instrument, like centuries ago, some of them sound like cello, some sound like violin, some, you know, but because of the lack of educations, they stay only probably doing in five notes.
And are you worried about whether these traditions are endangered? I've heard that you're working on a new type of krar, the lyre, to reintroduce it, because there are fewer and fewer krar players.
Most of our young in Ethiopia, everywhere, they intended to go to a guitar instead of the krar, because you can do anything on the guitar. You can play anything on a guitar. But I always thought, like, if you be able to develop the krar, to be able to do like the guitar. So one thing, we can contribute styles, sounds, and shapes in music in this world, you know? And so I've tried, and I was experimenting to have additional strings and be able to play European scales.
To add additional strings to the krar?
To the krar. It's 6. You can make it 8, or you can make it 12. So I managed with 8 at the beginning. We played a tune like Mercy Mercy. We played a tune like Never on Sunday.
we played Quantanamera with the crowd for the first time. My next work on Ethio Jazz, I wanted to work on the washing and the masinko. The flute and the masinko and
string,
the crowd. Yeah, and so three of them to be able to play 12 notes music. So that is the target of Ethio Jazz. Not playing it by piano, playing with a vibraphone, play with saxophone. No, my target is this traditional instrument to be able to play, you know, 12 tone music. So that would be the target for Ethio Jazz.
Mulatu, tell me about the band that you're playing with here at Koko tonight, because I don't think there are actually any Ethiopians amongst them. They're mainly British, aren't they?
I tell you, they're great musicians. I really loved playing with them. They're young, you know, and they're getting into Ethiopian jazz also, you know. I mean, you know, we practice somehow. They're in it. So I'm getting the sound I really want to get from these guys. So they're great musicians, and I hope we'll be successful.
Thank you, Mulatu.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for your time.
This is the piece I call Motherland, and we're featuring Mr. James, Mr. Danny, and Dr. Alex on the piano. Thank you so much. This is what we call Motherland. And finally, we have Mr. Barron on the trumpet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is a new piece, I Got Motherland. Thank you so much. Now, we're going to share our percussionist here, Mr. Richard. This is a piece I wrote for Nice. So this is a piece I call Way to the Nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
catch me. Thank you. Big up for the band here. Big up for the band. Big up. Thank you so much.
Ethio jazz pioneer Mulatu Astatke on stage at Coco in Camden as part of the 2012 London Jazz Festival. His band of British jazz musicians up there with him are James Arben on sax, Byron Rowland trumpet, Danny Keane on cello, Alexander Hawkins piano, John Edwards on double bass, Richard Olatunde Baker on percussion, and Tom Skinner on drums. And you heard Mulatu Astatke on vibes, Wurlitzer electric piano, and percussion. Next week on World Roots, we're in the studio with singer Sidi Touré from the north of Mali, who not only does a wonderful session for us of Sonorai music from the bend of the Niger River, but also talks movingly about the current political crisis in Mali and its impact on music. But tonight, the last word goes to a man whose music crosses from ancient Ethiopia to New York and back. Mulatu Astatke.
The last piece for this evening is another composition of mine which has been sampled by Bob Marley Kids. This piece has been hit all over the world, in New York especially. So this is a piece I call Yegile Tizita.
Thank you.
so much. Thank you. We love you so much. Thank you.
Mulatu Astatke on stage as part of the 2012 London Jazz Festival and recorded for World Roots last weekend. World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by Peter Meanwell. Well, next week, as Lucy mentioned, she'll be in the studio with Malian musician Sidi Touré. Details, as ever, on the Radio 3 website.
The season of Advent is just around the corner, with the annual Advent Carol service on BBC Radio 3 and people across the UK opening the doors of their Advent calendars. On Radio 3 Breakfast, we want you to decide what lies behind the door each day during Advent. Winter music, Advent music, music sacred or secular, maybe the odd reading or poem. Let us know what you'd like to hear. Email 3breakfast@bbc.co.uk.
BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You can also listen to us live online. It's a minute past 11 o'clock and time now for Jazz Lineup.
Hello, I'm Julian Joseph and welcome to a very special edition of Jazz Lineup, coming from the BBC's Maida Vale studios as part of this year's London Jazz Festival. The festival's been running for 20 years and 2012 marks the 12th year of its association with BBC Radio 3. On today's programme, we celebrate the work of a musician whose importance to British jazz is immeasurable. Part of a strong contingent of London-based musicians from the 1960s, he's worked hard to raise the consciousness of jazz music through composition and education. Our tribute today brings his luscious music to the fore in the hands of musical director Jeff Warren. Graham Collier was born in Tynemouth, Northumberland, in 1937. When he finished school in the mid-50s, he joined the British Army as a musician, where he played trumpet and later bass, serving in Hong Kong for 3 years. He attended the famed Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, graduating in 1963 with the distinction of being the first British student to do so. He toured briefly with the Jimmy Dorsey Band when he graduated and then returned to the UK. In London, he set to creating bands that would play his original music and would become a haven for development amongst British jazz talent. The talent in his bands included Harry Beckett, Jeff Castle, Mike Gibbs, Carl Jenkins, Dick Pierce, John Sermon, Art Thiemann, and Kenny Wheeler. Later on, Ian Ballamy, Eddie Parker, Django Bates inhabited his band, which eventually led to the emergence of Loose Tubes in the 80s. Collier was the architect of comprehensive jazz courses, which in 1987 culminated in the jazz degree course at the Royal Academy of Music in London. The majority of Britain's elite music conservatories offer a jazz degree program, thanks to Graham Collier's pioneering work, drive, and forthrightness. So tonight we celebrate the music of this British band leader, educator, and remember Graham Collier as a key member of a seminal generation of British jazz composers that emerged in the 1960s. His creative spirit never waned and continued on until his untimely death in 2011. This special tribute concert will feature members of the BBC Big Band with special guest musicians from among Graham Collier's closest associates, including musical director Jeff Warren. 2012 would have marked his 75th birthday, and tonight's performance, recorded at the BBC Maida Vale Studios, features the British premiere of Graham's penultimate work, The Blue Suite, as well as a selection of his and the musicians' personal favourites from the Collier canon. Here are the members of tonight's band. They are on trumpets, Martin Shaw, Mike Lovett, Steve Waterman. On trombone, Gordon Campbell. On French horn, Jonathan Williams. On tuba, we've got Andy Grappi. On saxophones and reeds, we've got Andy Panay. We've got Graham Blevins, Art Thiemann, and Julian Siegel. On drums, we have John Marshall. On the bass, Roy Babington. On piano and synthesizers, Roger Dean. On electric guitar, Ed Spate. And please give a very warm welcome to tonight's musical director, Jeff Warren. Tonight's performance will be in two halves. Later on, we'll hear a wide range of Graham's music selected from the Collier canon. But to start off our musical tribute tonight, to one of the UK's most precious and productive composers, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the British premiere of Graham Collier's penultimate work, The Blue Suite.